All right, so let's jump right in, folks, into a topic that's been in the news a lot lately. And honestly, it's something we all should be paying attention to. Ransomware attacks on the NHS, you know, specifically requested more info on this. And we're zeroing in on two recent cases, Alderhay and rural hospitals.
Right.
We've got a whole bunch of articles here, some from the tech side of things, some from healthcare publications.
Okay.
Which gives us that good mix of, you know, the nitty-gritty technical stuff and the human impact.
Yeah.
And really, that's what we want to get at here. You want to know not just what happened, but why the NHS seems to be such a target, you know, over and over again.
Yeah.
And what this all means going forward.
So big questions.
Big questions. Huge questions.
Yeah.
Let's get started.
It really is an important area to be talking about, especially given, you know, how important the NHS is to all of us.
Exactly. So let's start with Alderhay Children's Hospital. Now, this is one of the largest children's hospitals in Europe.
Wow.
Which makes this attack even more concerning. When you think about it, you've got patient records, donor information, even procurement details going back 6 years, all compromised.
Yeah, and this is where that long-term impact really comes into play. It's not just the immediate disruption of services, it's that erosion of trust.
Right.
You know, parents entrust their children to this hospital. Donors give their money to vital research and care. This attack shakes the foundation of that trust.
For sure.
And that can be incredibly difficult to rebuild.
It does make you wonder then about the motives behind these attacks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it purely financial or is there something more going on here?
That's the question investigators will be trying to answer. But in terms of how it actually happened, they exploited a vulnerability in what's called a digital gateway service.
A digital gateway.
Okay. So this is basically a system that allows multiple hospitals to share data.
Right.
But in this case, it had a critical security flaw. Imagine it's like a central hub connecting all these different hospitals, and this hub had a back door left wide open.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
Yeah.
So it's not just Alderhay. Hey, that was vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially other hospitals using the same system were exposed as well.
Absolutely.
Hmm.
This highlights a really important point that there can be a single point of failure that can have a massive ripple effect across the entire network.
Right. And amidst all this chaos, Alderhay is trying to reassure everyone that services are still running. You know, they're projecting this image of calm, but then there's this threat of the attackers releasing all that stolen data.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about pressure.
This is classic ransomware playbook. They create this impossible choice. Pay up and you might be funding criminal activity.
Right.
Or refuse and risk the consequences of a massive data breach.
It's a no-win situation.
Yeah.
And it really highlights the ethical dilemma at the heart of these attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's shift our focus to the Rural Hospital Trust.
Okay.
Hit with the same type of ransomware attack.
Right.
Affecting multiple hospitals. Aeroport Clatterbridge. Even the Rural Women and Children's Hospital.
So widespread.
Yeah. And what's interesting here is the contrast in impact. While Alderhay managed to keep services running, Rural declared a major incident.
Oh, wow.
They had to shut down systems, prioritize emergency services.
Yeah.
And even then, we're hearing reports of massive wait times. This wasn't just a data breach. This was operational chaos.
And that raises concerns about those ripple effects. What happens to patients scheduled for non-emergency procedures? How long will it take for services to fully recover?
Right. It's a stark reminder that this isn't just an IT problem. It has real-world consequences for patients and staff.
Yeah, it really highlights the need for strong contingency plans and the ability to quickly isolate affected systems to stop the spread.
So we've seen two attacks, both on the NHS, both using ransomware.
Yeah.
It begs the question, why is the NHS such a prime target?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they've got a bullseye on their back for these cyber criminals.
Unfortunately, there are a few factors that make them particularly vulnerable.
Okay, let's break those down. What makes them so attractive to attackers?
Well, for starters, the sheer volume and value of data they hold is huge. We're not just talking about medical records. We're talking names, addresses, national insurance numbers, all the ingredients for identity theft and fraud. This data is incredibly valuable on the black market.
So they're sitting on a gold mine of personal data, and the attackers know it.
Exactly. And then you've got the critical nature of their operations.
Yeah.
Hospitals can't just shut down. They're dealing with life and death situations 24/7.
Right.
This puts them in an incredibly difficult position when faced with a ransomware attack.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because do they pay the ransom to restore services quickly?
Right.
Potentially saving lives, but also funding criminal activity?
Right.
Or do they stand firm and risk those prolonged disruptions that could have really, really bad consequences.
It's a tough question, and it feeds into that debate about whether hospitals should ever pay ransoms. Does it set a precedent? Does it encourage more attacks?
Yeah, and then there's the issue that keeps coming up, outdated systems. Now, I think for many of us who aren't tech experts, it's hard to grasp why this is such a problem. Can you break that down for us?
Yeah.
Why are outdated systems such a major vulnerability?
Well, a lot of NHS systems rely on software that's really old. Some of it was written decades ago when cyber attacks were much less sophisticated.
Right.
This means they often lack basic security features like encryption or strong authentication, making them easy targets for today's attackers.
So it's like trying to defend against a modern army with outdated weapons.
Exactly. And this isn't just hypothetical.
Right.
We've seen the real-world consequences of this vulnerability time and time again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like the Synovus Pathology breach back in 2024, 400 gigabytes of sensitive patient data gone.
Oh, wow.
Led to months of canceled operations, emergency patients being diverted to other hospitals. It was a mess.
Yeah, the Synovus case is really scary just because of how big it was and how long the disruption lasted. It wasn't just about getting the data back. It was a complete meltdown.
Yeah.
Everything stopped working.
Yeah.
And you could really see the impact on patient care. It went on for months.
And it just really drives home that point that these attacks aren't just about stealing information. It's about bringing essential services to a grinding halt.
Yeah.
And it's not always the hospitals themselves that are targeted either, right?
Yeah.
Like, remember the advanced IT hack in 2023?
Oh, yeah. Advanced IT. They were a major service provider for the NHS.
Exactly.
And that attack really showed how vulnerable that whole supply chain is.
Right.
Because when a vendor gets compromised, it can trigger a domino effect affecting tons of hospitals.
It's like this massive web of interconnected systems.
Yeah.
And if one part of that web breaks down, the whole thing can start to unravel.
Absolutely. And it raises a really important question about responsibility.
Okay.
Like, who is ultimately in charge of securing these systems?
Right.
Is it the individual hospitals, the service providers, the government?
Right.
It's a really messy situation.
Yeah. For sure. And speaking of the government, what are they doing to tackle this growing problem? I mean, they've put out this five-pillar cybersecurity strategy.
Right.
But is it enough?
It seems pretty comprehensive on paper. They're talking about modernizing systems, beefing up threat detection, improving staff training, investing in research and development, and expanding the cyber workforce.
Yeah.
But the real test is going to be in how they actually do all of that. Can they pull it off in such a complex organization?
Right.
Especially with all the budget limitations they face.
So the strategy is there, but the question is, can they actually make it happen?
Exactly.
Let's dig into those pillars a bit more. I mean, how do those ideas translate into actual improvements on the ground?
Okay, so the first one, building a strong foundation, that's all about updating those outdated systems we've been talking about.
Right.
But the scale of that task is enormous. It's like trying to redo all the plumbing in a whole city while the water's still running.
Oh, wow.
It's a logistical headache, and it's going to take a ton of money, which is always a problem for the NHS.
Realistically, how long is that going to take to update those systems across all the NHS trusts?
It's hard to say.
And is the funding actually enough to deal with the size of the problem?
Yeah, those are important questions. Then there's defending as one, which is all about collaboration and information sharing.
Okay.
The idea is to present a united front against cyber attacks.
Right.
But again, it comes down to execution. Can you get everyone to communicate openly and share data when the system is often so siloed and everyone's so protective of their own information?
It sounds good in theory.
Yeah.
But putting that into practice is a whole other story.
Exactly. The third pillar, building resilience, that's about having strong backup systems and disaster recovery plans.
Okay.
It's about limiting downtime and damage if an attack happens.
Right.
But this is about more than just technology. It requires a whole change in mindset.
So it's not just having the tools.
Right.
But knowing how to use them.
Exactly.
And having the right procedures and training in place.
Mm-hmm. It's about being ready for anything.
Okay. Investing in the future. That's all about research and development, right?
Right. New technology staying ahead of the curve.
Okay.
Which is really important because the threats are constantly evolving.
Mm-hmm.
But research takes time and money.
Right.
And there's no guarantee when those new ideas will turn into real solutions.
That's a long game.
Yeah. A long game with potential payoff, but it doesn't fix the problems we have right now.
And the final pillar, growing the cyber workforce, that's about addressing that huge shortage of cybersecurity professionals in the NHS.
Right.
Finding and keeping talented people, giving them the right training and resources
mm-hmm.
to fight these threats that are getting more and more complex.
Exactly. But attracting the best people means offering competitive salaries and benefits.
Right.
Which brings us back to that funding issue again.
So it's like this multi-layered problem that needs a multi-layered solution.
Precisely. It's not just about technology. It's about the people, the processes, the entire culture. It's about understanding that cybersecurity is everyone's responsibility, not just the IT department.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to add to that, we have the Cybersecurity and Resilience Bill coming in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
Which includes that mandatory reporting of ransomware attacks.
Right.
So the goal is to make things more transparent and accountable.
Yeah, the thinking is that by making these attacks public,
mm-hmm.
it will encourage organizations to prioritize cybersecurity and invest in better protection.
Okay.
And it will give us a clearer picture of what the threats are like,
mm-hmm.
which could help us spot patterns and vulnerabilities.
But does it actually prevent attacks, or is it more about dealing with the aftermath?
That's the big question. It might be too soon to say what the long-term effect will be.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely pushes for more transparency.
Right.
But whether it leads to actual improvements in cybersecurity remains to be seen.
Okay, so we've talked about the attacks, the vulnerabilities, the government's response.
Yeah.
It can all feel a bit overwhelming and kind of abstract at times. But let's bring it back down to earth.
Mm.
What does this all mean for real people?
Mm-hmm.
What are the actual consequences of these attacks beyond the headlines and all the technical jargon?
Well, beyond the disruptions to services, there's this massive impact on trust.
Right.
Imagine you're a patient whose medical records have been stolen.
Oh, yeah.
You might hesitate to seek care, worried that your information isn't safe.
Mm-hmm.
You might put off treatment.
Right.
And that could put your health at risk.
Yeah.
That's the real cost of these attacks.
It's heartbreaking to think that people might avoid getting the care they need because they're scared and don't trust the system anymore.
Absolutely. And then there are those disruptions to services.
Mm.
Imagine waiting for hours in the ER because the systems are down, or having a critical surgery delayed because the hospital can't access your records.
These are real scenarios.
Yeah.
And they show us how far-reaching these attacks can be. It's not just about data.
Mm.
It's about people's lives being turned upside down.
Yeah.
Their health potentially at stake.
And it goes beyond individual patients. These attacks can chip away at public confidence in the NHS as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
People start to question their competence, their ability to keep patient data safe,
right.
their ability to provide the care they're supposed to.
Right.
This can have huge consequences
yeah.
affecting funding, staffing, even political support.
It's a pretty bleak picture.
It is.
But it's important to be honest about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So where do we go from here? What can hospitals actually do to protect themselves and their patients?
Yeah.
It feels like they're always playing catch up with these attackers.
It's true. It's an uphill battle. But there are things they can do to improve their defenses. One of the simplest but most effective measures is multi-factor authentication, or MFA.
Can you explain that? What is MFA and how does it help?
Okay, so imagine you're logging into your bank account online. It's not enough to just type in your password. You also need to enter a code they send to your phone, or maybe use your fingerprint. This extra step makes it much harder for attackers to get in, even if they have your password.
So it's like having two locks on your door.
Exactly. Mm. And it works really well to stop breaches. Another important thing is to do regular security audits.
Okay.
This means checking all your systems and processes for weaknesses and fixing them before attackers find them.
So like a regular health checkup for your IT.
Precisely. And these audits shouldn't be a one-time thing.
Right.
They need to happen all the time to keep up with the changing threats.
Makes sense. Another key step is having advanced threat detection systems.
Right.
So what are those and how do they work?
Think of them like really smart alarms that are always monitoring the network, looking for any suspicious activity that could signal an attack.
Mm-hmm.
They can analyze huge amounts of data, instantly flagging anything that a human analyst might miss.
So like having a 24/7 security team.
Yeah, exactly. And these systems are getting smarter all the time. They're using AI and machine learning to spot even the smallest signs of an attack.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
But technology alone isn't enough.
Right.
We have to address the human element, too.
Absolutely.
Which is often the weakest link.
Right.
And that brings us to staff training.
Yeah. It's crucial that everyone knows about cybersecurity best practices.
Okay.
Like how to spot those phishing emails,
yeah.
how to handle sensitive data,
mm-hmm.
and how to report anything suspicious.
I think we've all seen those emails that look like they're from a legitimate source,
mm-hmm.
but they're actually trying to trick you into giving away your password or clicking on a bad link.
Those phishing attacks are getting really good.
Yeah?
It's hard to tell the real ones from the fake ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's why awareness training is so important.
Yeah.
It's about giving people the knowledge and skills to spot and avoid those threats.
So it's not just about having the latest security software, but creating a culture where everyone knows how to protect patient data.
Exactly. And finally, hospitals need to have solid incident response plans.
Now, those sound a bit boring. Why are they so important?
It's like a fire drill.
Okay.
You might not ever have a fire, but you need to know what to do if one breaks out.
Right.
An incident response plan tells you exactly what to do if there's a cyber attack, who to call, how to limit the damage,
mm-hmm.
how to get systems back online, and how to communicate with everyone involved.
So it's about minimizing the impact and getting things back to normal as quickly as possible.
Exactly. And a well-rehearsed incident response plan can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being ready for anything.
Right. Even though we hope we never have to use it.
Exactly. This has been a lot of information.
Yeah, it feels like we're just scratching the surface here.
Mm-hmm.
We've covered so much. From those attacks on Alder Hey and Wirral to the broader vulnerabilities of the NHS.
Right.
And what can be done to address them.
Mm-hmm.
But before we wrap up, I want to give you the final word. What's the most important thing for our listener to take away from this discussion?
The key takeaway is that this is an ongoing challenge. This isn't a one-time thing.
Right.
The threat is real. It's constantly evolving, and it's not going away.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have hope. Mm. We have the knowledge, the tools, and the resources to fight back.
Mm.
It's about coming together, taking action, and recognizing that cybersecurity is a shared responsibility.
You came to us wanting to know why these attacks keep happening to the NHS.
Yeah.
We've talked about the vulnerabilities, the motivations, the impact, and the solutions.
Mm-hmm.
But most importantly, you now know what questions to ask.
Right.
You can demand better from the people in charge of protecting our data and our health.
And remember, awareness is the first line of defense.
Mm-hmm.
Stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay safe.
Absolutely.
This isn't just about hospitals. It's about protecting our entire digital world.
It's a call to action for all of us. And on that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep those critical thinking caps on.
Yeah. It really is. And you know what? That's the perfect place to wrap up this deep dive. It is. We've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
Uh-huh.
From those specific attacks on Alder Hey and Wirral,
mm-hmm.
to that bigger question of why the NHS is so vulnerable and what can be done.
Right.
And listener, I hope this gives you not just the what happened, but the so what.
Yeah.
It's easy to feel powerless when you hear about these attacks.
Yeah.
But knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get it. Now you understand the complexity, you can start asking those harder questions.
Exactly. Whether it's your own GP or, you know, local officials or even national policies, this impacts us all.
For sure. And, you know, something that really hit home for me was that long-term impact.
Yeah.
We tend to focus on that initial chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that loss of trust, that hesitation to seek care, that sticks around.
It does. And that's why individual awareness is so important.
Right.
Understanding how those phishing scams work.
Mm-hmm.
Questioning data security practices. We all have a role to play.
It's not just about waiting for the hospitals or the government to fix everything. Yeah. We're all part of this digital world.
We are. And the more we know, the stronger we are.
Exactly. So listener, keep digging. Keep learning. This isn't a one-time conversation.
No, it's not.
But armed with his knowledge, you're ahead of the game.
You are. And, you know, maybe that's the most encouraging thing to take away from all of this.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious and stay safe out there.